Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to episode 322 of See You Next Wednesday podcast. That's all it is. It's a podcast. We talk about pop culture and movies, and a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on December 5th, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman, and I'm telling you, Molotov cocktails work. Anytime I had a problem and I threw a Molotov cocktail, boom, right away I had a different problem.
I love that line. My name is Casey Lyons, and ooh, a janitor position. I've always wanted to janet.
My name is Greg LeGros, and children, love, and acrobat.
We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. Two of the people here were winner's choices. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And they got to see whatever they wanted for
this
episode.
I wonder if we saw the same thing.
Well, I was the loser, and I had to stay home and visit Santa's summer house.
And Dakota.
We will talk about a punishment album for the week. We will reveal a new punishment album and roll for movies next week. If you would like to get into contact with us about anything we talk about or to recommend things, info@modernsuperior.com is the email. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC and tell all your friends about us in real life. Mm. How's it going?
Good.
I love coffee.
December. What?
Coffee's so good.
Very great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas time is here.
It is.
Christmas is starting now.
Yeah. Tree is up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Was that tree's up. Was that a song you were singing?
Sure is. It's like a Disney. It's a Disney thing.
Is it? It's an actual song?
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas is starting now.
It's not like that.
That is exactly what you sounded like.
We all got our trees up. So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't quite started. I watched a couple Christmas things that I think I talked about an episode or two ago, but I haven't leaned in yet.
I'm getting ready
to lean in.
No, I'm just on the it's a subtle dance.
Yeah.
And we just got the tree up this this weekend. So I started with a couple of the classics, and I haven't really, like, gone headlong yet.
Yeah.
I'm changing it. We're doing it different this year. We're going full steam into, like, a lot of the regular watching to get to, like, maybe some newer stuff.
Yeah.
We're not doing the same thing every year.
Yeah.
I've already done Die Hard.
Okay.
But, you know, that already happened. I already did Scrooged.
Nice.
See, that's...
I haven't done that yet.
There are a couple... Like, I haven't done Christmas Vacation yet
because I haven't had a time
where all of my attention could be devoted to laughing my ass off at a movie I've seen 150,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. Gremlins already happened.
At a man I despise.
Yeah, he's the worst person, but...
What a complicated world.
Yeah, I know. As long as it's the 80s or earlier, I'll just kind of accept it.
Yeah.
Did some Gremlins.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that stuff
yet. I've got Gremlins, like, in the chamber ready to go. Yeah.
Nice.
Boy, is it a fucking amazing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. But I guess, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going for it.
Yeah, you, nice. You are really jumping in. Yeah. I thought I would do, like, we did a couple of the classics that we have to do. Like, there's a couple of things that we have to do when we put the tree up.
Yeah.
So we put the tree up, and then we have our dinner and watch, like, Rudolph, which we already watched, which is actually a little bit funnier than I thought it was.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we did The Grinch. And,
yeah, I've seen The Grinch, like 72 Grinch. Times this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
We were watching, and the kids were both, like, just glued to the TV, just eyes wide.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yes, yeah. We're doing it. Yeah. We're doing it. And then we had to pause it because dinner was ready, and Bea just got up at the dinner table and looked at me and said, I don't want to watch that anymore. I was like, ah, damn it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Zoe asks for it every morning. Watch The Grinch.
That's yep. good. Awesome.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to say? No?
No.
Have you guys seen I'm sure you have, the Muppet Family Christmas special? It is so good.
How old is it?
It's from 87. It's not the Christmas movie.
Holy shit, dude. I totally have forgotten about
that.
Really? I used to watch it every year when I was a
God,
kid.
I love it so much.
They go to like an old country house.
Yeah,
and,
they're like trying to get somewhere and they get
Dolly
snowed
Parton
in.
There?
Let's see. It's like Fozzie Bear surprises his mother.
That's who it was. That's what I was talking about.
Right.
Fozzie Bear's got those massive boobs, right?
Yeah. I am scrolling across. I don't recall
that
her
is,
being
dude,
in it.
That is so crazy. I'm going to go home
and...
Yeah,
I forgot about
and,
that.
Yeah.
That's on YouTube.
The Muppets Christmas Carol is quite good as well.
I love that movie.
I actually... Because I didn't grow up with that one.
It was post-Henson, so I was like, fuck you!
Yeah.
And later
like
I was like,
Brian
oh, this
Henson
is fun.
Thing.
Yeah, that was
well,
the
yeah,
first
we,
Brian
we actually
Henson.
Started watching it this season. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of into this. And then the copy that we had.
I love that. I had never seen that until I started dating Emma, and she loves that. That's like her favorite Muppet thing.
Yeah.
And I definitely was like, went in being skeptical, like Brian Henson, like the first major post Jim Henson project. And then I don't know. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's great. It's probably the best post Henson.
Probably.
Project,
yeah.
Other than,
I don't know. Have you seen, is it Muppets in Space?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, and the two most recent ones are both great too.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
rewatched Most Wanted. It's terrific.
It's great.
It's great. It's, the songs are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was better, the first Muppets.
Yeah, I think I like the
first
one better.
I there's something about, there's a zaniness about the second one that's a little bit more active throughout.
It's got a bit
and
more
also,
of a caper vibe.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Well, it feels like it follows the trajectory of the original ones, where the first one is like a sprawling Muppets kind of a thing, and then the second one has got like a spy plot type of thing.
Yeah. Also, I have one other one I want to mention. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. It's a Canadian special that I randomly found on YouTube called George and the Christmas Star.
Yeah, I put this on.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to
this
it, though.
This is what you... Yeah, I started watching it.
I was waiting for it to look familiar.
I think I was at work when I was watching it.
It's weird, but I loved it. I don't know what it was about it, but I just fell for it super hard.
I just had it on while I was doing stuff around the house, and it just sounded like... old TV Christmas to me, and I'm like, well, this is nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but I don't care.
This is something that when you had to watch an actual channel of television,
right,
would just come on and you'd be like, well,
yeah. Also, have you guys seen
NFB.
The Ziggy's one? Ziggy's Gift?
No.
It's pretty funny. It's like a Ziggy special on TV from 82.
Huh.
I didn't know Ziggy had specials.
Yeah, I guess it won an Emmy or something when it came out. It's not what I thought it was going to be, because I was like, Ziggy is lame.
Yeah.
But it was a lot gag heavier than I thought it was going to be. Like, it was super goofy, like, gags, and it was pretty pretty funny.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, for like a crappy little TV special.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm leaning into that right now, where it's like, I will eventually watch Gremlins. I'm going to eventually watch all the stuff that I usually watch. But I definitely spent a night, the first night that we put up the tree, I just went down a hole on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched some weird shit, man. The Pokey Little Puppies First Christmas from 1992.
What are you doing with your time, Dan?
I watched it.
Are you okay?
Do you know who narrates that?
Nope.
Donald Sutherland for some reason.
Whoa. All right.
I don't
Pokey
know
Little
why.
Puppy.
I don't know why that makes sense to me.
It was fucking weird.
Great.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any news to talk about?
I feel like there must have been, but at the same time, I can't think of anything that's been interesting.
All I can think of is
additions
to the Mandalorian cast.
Oh, right.
Now we're talking about Nick Nolte, and I'm on board for it. Let's get Nick Nolte in a goddamn Star Wars promo. Yeah.
That guy's terrific at acting. Yeah.
If you get Nick Nolte and Carl Weathers, it's already my favorite movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, TV show. Whatever
fine.
The fuck. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Entertainment input.
I did see this just now, an hour ago. Mm-hmm. There's an article on Birth, Movies, Death saying that Emma Stone may headline a Cruella de Vil movie.
I feel like I've been hearing that for like 150 years, and I don't care.
No,
because I don't. I'm not.
I think that's good casting.
Maybe. I don't dislike Emma Stone. If she's in a movie, I'm like, oh, there she is. But I don't care about her to seek out her movies, and I don't care about the property at all.
Well, I quite like Emma Stone, and I will watch her movies, but I don't really care for. It's fine. 101 Dalmatians.
Oh man, I love 101 Dalmatians.
It's good.
It's so just, good.
I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch it. It's been a while.
You know what it is for me?
Too many dogs.
That's about one too many.
Too many. No, you know what? Four too many.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, six less.
Yeah.
Than I want.
Yeah.
I want a little
you
more.
Wanted 107.
Yeah. I always thought it was
like, let's
super
not fuck
boring
around
that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, come on.
When I was younger, I was like, this movie is a snooze. And I watched it last year earlier this year before I went back to Disney and was like, oh, this is perfect. I fucking loved it. I love the music. I loved everything about it.
It was a monster hit.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
Box office bonanza.
Yeah.
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 And I thought I was going to like Aristocats more because I'm a cat person. And then we followed it up with that. And I was like, this is not
solid
very good.
Solid logic.
I was like, this is not nearly as good as that.
Yeah, Aristocats is
not that great. Not very good.
That's
I don't
middle
like
territory.
Yeah.
Not great.
I think of it as being great.
Me too.
Because I feel like it's like the cool Disney movie.
What?
I don't know
the
why.
Cool. These like, kitty cats are cool.
Because they're like jazz kitties. Yeah. And shit. Like, oh, man. These kitties are weird.
Smoking reefer, probably.
Is it cool because of they go and they sing all the jazz and then there's like a couple racist ones?
Yes. I think racism is cool.
Yeah.
You?
It's in all Disney.
Yeah.
They are very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me so racist.
Yeah, I would be more interested in stuff like a Cruella de Vil movie where it's like, let's do a new movie with a character versus like, let's do Lion King again. Let's do Jungle Book again.
Did you guys see that Lion King
the trailer? Yeah.
No.
Well, that's why I was asking you on the Facebook thread, like, people really liked the Jungle Book. Apparently it was great.
Yeah,
it was. And it was visually unremarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at it, those animals are definitely talking. Well, but the story is fun and the kid is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But
then I went home and watched the animated one and went, yeah.
Yeah, there's just something.
Yeah.
This Lion King thing is like, a lot of the shots are directly from the movie.
Right? Yeah, it's very,
like the
very
animated
similar.
Movie, so right. I'm like, what's the point of any of this?
Because,
again, it's kind of visually unremarkable. I'm like, yeah, those look like animals that are talking.
It does feel like they were like, Jungle Book was a big success. People loved it. And was it a big success? I'm just assuming.
It made money.
Okay.
They made a sequel.
And they're just like, let's do that again with, like, take the format X movie input. <Yeah. laughs>
But, like, this is a movie, like, people fucking love The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It skipped me.
It's one of the few of the big, the big. It was like, get Casey out of here.
Yeah,
no,
not that kid.
You look away from me.
It was of the big like return to form or you know a comeback for Disney because The Little Mermaid was definitely a comeback because Disney was sagging.
Yeah,
and all those
people didn't love Oliver and Company.
I watched that recently. It's pretty good.
I loved Oliver and Company. You know why? Billy Joel songs.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What should I wear?
Mermaid, Aladdin.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah. And Lion King. Lion King's the only one I saw around that time period.
Okay.
And I was like, that's good.
Yeah. I really don't know. Beauty and the Beast is, like, that was another one that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. And when I was a kid, was kind of like, whatever about it because I liked Lion King or whatever and Aladdin. I just did it for some reason. I wasn't into that one, and then I watched it like a year ago and was like, again, like, holy shit, this is like amazing.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's never seen
the
one.
Beauty
amazing.
And the Beast.
Yeah.
I've seen part of the live action one. Have you guys seen any of that?
No,
no.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
I missed that one, and I actually have been thinking about watching the Cinderella that Kenneth Branagh did, because I was like, this has got to be something.
I feel like Maya said it was surprisingly
I heard it wasn't,
good.
But yeah.
I'm just
going to
start watching the Linda Hamilton Beauty and the Beast TV series.
That's all you got to do. Linda Hamilton, Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
What more do you need?
I don't know. Speaking of Disney and all that, there is news. Everyone seems surprised that all these Netflix... Marvel shows are getting canceled.
Yeah.
Like, why? People love them. Like, yes, that's why they're canceling them all, because Disney owns them.
Yeah.
And they're starting their own streaming service. They can get out now.
Yeah.
That's why Jessica Jones and Punisher have been canceled, because they still have seasons to air.
Yeah.
So once those get aired,
that's
they're
going
to get canceled,
they'll,
too.
Yeah.
They'll make their money. And
yeah. And it's going to all start over on Disney's thing. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out. Like,
do you think they're going to...
They're moving
they're gonna it. Redo, you think they're gonna, there's going to be like the return of Daredevil and all that fucking nonsense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, Daredevil's a huge hit.
Yeah.
People love it. And it's pretty well done. Apparently, I haven't watched season 3 yet, but people liked it quite a lot more than season 2 and the Defenders SAG.
Yeah.
So... I hope they, bring it back. Maybe they'll tweak it a bit. I think the actor's good. I like him. And, just fix the costume, because the costume's fucking garbage.
Also get Piggy out of there.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see what the tweaks are when they go to that new platform.
Yeah.
And
like, get the nose shield off of his nose. Daredevil doesn't have a Batman nose shield thing. It's a Captain America shape. You fucking ding-dongs. Sorry, what were you guys talking about?
I don't remember what we were talking about before your temper tantrum.
Drives me crazy. I can't look at it. It pisses me off so much.
What?
His nose isn't protected, you guys. That's what makes him dangerous.
What have you guys been watching this past week?
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Whoa! I did we were talking a little bit, but before we started recording, but I rewatched Medea Christmas.
Yes.
Which I saw in the theater, because it was a losing movie.
Which you've seen too many times?
I've seen it twice.
Yeah. Listen, so, I watched it a year two years ago, and I was like, Greg, you were right.
Yeah. I saw it in theater, and my buddy, Scott Farmer, friend of the show, came with me, and he was like, yeah, I'll come with you.
This is a real party
100%
dude.
Right guy to come with me.
Yeah.
Is he a ninja turtle?
Tubular.
Yeah.
Welcome with you, man. You get any pizza?
And I had I was just astonished in the theater. And I'd seen a Medea movie before, but I still wasn't quite prepared for this one. And so I just rewatched it, and it's been like 5 years or whatever.
It's the Medea movie.
It is. And I'd forgotten a bunch because there's so much to take in. It's I don't know how I could have remembered it all. It's bonkers.
It's good.
And there's wipes. That's every scene transition is a wipe with a Christmas thing flying across the screen with the wipe. And
I think that's something that they learned from Dave Dakota.
It's great. Yeah, good. Yeah. It's good. And they do it at the end of scenes where maybe it shouldn't be there, which is really good. And there are like...
Just in the middle of a scene?
Yeah.
Whoa, what was that?
Whoa, is a tree? There are like 6 plots going on in this movie. It is
that
fucking
sounds like
insane.
A Tyler Perry movie.
But they're all it's a messy, crazy, crazy thing. And all of his like I used to maybe smoke or I used to sell weed and do stripper stuff, like that stuff's like really amped up in this one. And I'm like, this is a Christmas movie, and like there's a lot of like Christmas stuff going on. Like a lot of things just don't fit, but they don't fit in the best kind of way. Like, I was still astonished with this movie. It's on Netflix now. I don't know if it's on American Netflix, but if you're in Canada, it's on Canadian Netflix.
Yeah.
Don't ruin your Christmas. Watch Christmas Medea. Yeah. I'm fucking telling you.
Doesn't it become about, like, reverse racism?
Yes.
And, like...
100%. I don't even want to, like, I just want Casey, to watch it so bad. That's all I want for Christmas. Please watch it for the next episode. I'll watch it again.
I'll watch it. I was thinking about, like, I'll watch it again this year.
Yeah.
It might become, like,
I'm going to watch it every year, You need, a Jingle All the Way or some kind of I'll probably watch that again this year, too.
I was thinking about it.
But, yeah, it's much crazier than Jingle All the Way.
I love Medea movies.
It's the best one, but no question.
Yeah, they're so their own distinct thing. And even when they are truly terrible, you're better for seeing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not me. I'm permanently broken. boo Christmas.
Yeah. Listen, that's Halloween? And those are fine. Like, they're funny, bad in a way.
Listen,
but
the experience,
not like this Christmas one. This is
Casey and I seeing Boo Halloween or whatever together when we drove to like a theater to see it, and just being there and being like, "What?"
Yeah,
was amazing.
And being like a very specific demographic in a theater full of not that demographic.
Yeah, no, that's how I saw Christmas with you, but with Scotty Farmer.
Yeah.
Woo!
which did make it that much better.
I love it.
It's pretty
I love
good.
It. Yeah.
Pretty good. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
Please, do yourself
do
a favor.
I watched something Christmassy.
Yeah.
Another Christmassy thing. A new Christmassy thing.
Oh,
did you?
Because you think, you kind of go like, oh, a new Christmas property here on Netflix delivered to me. And what's that? Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Here's what I'll say about that movie. I turned it on because I wanted to see it. And
me too.
Literally, like, 10 seconds into it, Emma said, do we have to watch this? And I was like, I guess not. I'll watch it later when you're not around. Because she has this thing where she'll make those like choices before there's any kind of information to even judge.
Right.
Like, I'll put a movie on. I think it was Midnight Run. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. Where I put Midnight Run on, and all that had happened was a man had walked up to a door, and she was like, ugh, turn this off. And I was nothing's happened yet.
Midnight Run is amazing.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing.
But I was like, you would love this if you watched it. You just haven't got... But she made the call on that, and I was like, we don't have to watch it. You can put something on if you want, because I hog the TV a lot. So I've been meaning to get to this.
She needs
I
to watch Midnight Run. Man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can fix that.
So I trust neither of you have seen it?
I saw the first like 5-10 minutes, but there's a lot of other shit going on.
I saw that a girl was in her room talking to her brother, and her brother
their
was
dad's
doing,
dead.
Yeah, and that's all I saw.
Yeah. Those people... The daughter, the son, the dad, the mom, they suck.
Yeah.
The dad was dead, and I was like, whoo. Because, they show a bunch of footage of him before he died and on Christmases, because he loved Christmas. And,
yeah.
But he was like that. He's like a real actor dad. You know what I mean? Like,
that's Goldie Hawn's kid.
What?
Oliver Hudson.
Who is?
The dad.
Yeah.
The beginning
is?
Who dies. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's terrible. Because he's doing a lot of act like, hey, son, we're having fun. I'm relating to you because you're my family.
Yeah, yeah. Like, cool nickname, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. And I hate the kids. The kids are just fucking terrible. And I'm like, oh, I fucking hate everything about this. And then Kurt Russell shows up. And, like, this movie doesn't give a fuck. This movie's like, hey, I'm Santa. I'm going to fucking run around doing some fucking Santa shit or whatever. And it's like, hey, there's a bunch of, you know, Santa mythology. Does it all make sense? No. Does it all gel together? No. Why is he doing that? I don't care. It's Kurt Russell. And he's so fucking great. And he's just, like, playing this. He's not even playing Santa. He's just charming Kurt Russell running around with a beard on. And it's fucking great as hell. And then he sort of befriends these two cops who actually throw him in jail. Oh fuck, this is the I don't even know how much of this I should tell, because if you guys aren't
going to
watch it,
I'm
definitely
it.
Watching it.
Alright, I'll hold off. But Lamorne Morris is in it, and I fucking love Lamorne Morris. Like, I will watch him do, and he is just a guy. Like, he's just a cop in it. He doesn't have any special lines or anything, but whenever he's on screen, I'm like, fucking love this guy. All right, I'll hold off talking about it.
Yeah,
I will
see it before next episode for sure. Totally.
What I will definitively say is it's fucking terrible, and it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I watched something that I'd never seen before that may surprise. It is a Cronenberg film. There's a couple Cronenberg films that are blind spots for me. And so I sat down and watched Dead Ringers for the first time.
Oh, that's a dark film.
A dark film. Mm-hmm. But I loved it.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
It's great.
Jeremy Irons
is insanely good in it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Guys, if you're going to say Jeremy Irons and
Jeremy Irons? It was like his two performances and how distinct they are and then how confusing they become. Like, not only is doing two completely different performances with mannerisms and so much depth to them is so hard. But then to also have to like confuse and muddle between the two personalities in like a way that you can understand as you go forward, and it's not just an act, like it's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was so good.
I
just loved it. So it's fucked up, but yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
I saw other Christmas things. What I've been watching a lot of mostly, Zoe, my daughter's favorite television show in the whole world right now, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
The new one?
The 2012 one. I ran from 2012 until, I don't know, sometime last year.
Which I heard was good, yeah.
I was not a Ninja Turtles person by any means.
Yeah.
I was more or less.
I've seen the cartoon, but I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
And I read the Eastman and Laird comics years later, and I was like, yeah, cool. But yeah. I wasn't like, let's get her into Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to find something one day, and she pointed at the thumbnail and wanted it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you want Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? And she was like, yeah. And then it's just been like, it's been like snowballing. Like, yeah. It was like every once in a while, she'd ask for it, and then it is top dog. She talks about it when it's not on, loves it, like is engrossed with it. And so I've been watching it with her, so because they have the first two seasons on Netflix, and I was like, hey, this isn't bad.
Yeah,
like pretty interesting stuff, and the animation looks good. And then somewhere in like the beginning of season two, I was like, I look forward to this show. Nice. I genuinely like this show.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like I'm very impressed with it. Voice acting is really good and the stories are good, and they've removed it. It's not just Shredder and that's it. Like there's a whole world of shit going on that's really interesting. And then about midway through season, they aren't even in it. All new guys. All new villains, and some of them are very, very good and complicated. And somewhere about midway through season two, the turtles go on a little adventure and they turn down an alleyway where they run into a guy called Ho Chan, who is just Lo Pan from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
And they just do Big Trouble in Little China.
What?
And it's the guy. It's doing the voice.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And he just there's these street thugs around and he has ability to turn them into the three storms, and they get the hats and they do they're the three storms, and then he possesses them. Then he turns three of the turtles into the storms and they all got to fight one. And he's like a girl with green eyes so he can be. And I was like, they're just doing Big Trouble in Little China. This is insane.
You're saying all this to your two-year-old daughter.
Yes.
She's like, Dad, please.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was pretty wild. It's super good.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
awesome.
Put it on for your kids. It's you know, it is violent. There's a lot of punching and kicking. And
well, my kids love that.
Yeah.
They do it all the time.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it being like well received when it came out.
Yeah. People were like, this is maybe the best one.
Yeah.
And there is a new one. I watched a little bit of that. And boy, do I not like that shit at all.
Yeah. Rise the animation is dumb looking.
The animation is really weird. The turtles have no distinct personalities anymore. They're just four guys who do things. And it just doesn't work. Like, I don't get it. I don't get what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels weird. It's sort of like, it's like if, you know, when John Kay did Mighty Mouse and was like, made it all crazy.
Yeah.
It was
John Kay did Mighty Mouse before
doing Ren and Stimpy. I mean, we all know that John Kay is a piece of shit now, but still,
yes.
History anyway of television. He did a Mighty Mouse show that was bonkers, but it worked because it had this really weird sense of humor and it was genuinely funny. This is like, let's be weird with the turtles, but we don't know what jokes are. So, it sucks. Don't like it at all. It pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's
how many seasons are there
of the
good one?
Well, it's broken up kind of weird on IMDb because I would say there's five seasons.
Okay.
On there, it says like there's seven or eight, but the last couple are like six episodes. And
yeah, yeah.
10 episodes. But as far as like having a 22 and for years that went on here, it's about five seasons.
Okay.
But it's super good quality.
Nice.
Boy, do I like it.
Nice.
Which I'm very stunned at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtles and a Half Show.
Mm.
Casey?
We've been watching, upon your recommendation, Greg, The big show at our house right now is Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And when I say the big show at our house, I don't just mean the kids.
yeah, man.
It's awesome.
I fucking love that show.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's so good. The music is fucking
dynamite.
Great. like, the theme music and everything is so good. Mm-hmm. And that guy, DJ Lance Rock, is the fucking coolest
He's the coolest person ever.
Alive.
Yeah. It's have you read about the history of the show, how it all came together, and
really,
how they all know each other? It's really interesting. It's cool. The guy,
I thought you were going to tell this
story. A little bit, anyway. It's because they're all musicians in California, and DJ Lance... was a local musician. He was in a couple of bands, but he also had this record store that was really fucking cool. He ran that place and like had a little label and stuff like that. And there was this other band, and he was buddies with this guy. And that guy's band was doing well, but then didn't quite get there. And then he came up with like, well, I'll take some of my songs I've been writing and turn them into kids songs. I'm going to develop this kids show. But like, Lance, I need you to do it. You're the guy. Like, it's the only way it's going to work. And so they developed it together and they pitched it. And then boom, there you go.
Nice. That is the fucking best.
Yeah.
Because he's so weird in like the fucking best way.
Yeah.
Where you're like, of course this guy needs to be teaching my kids how to be awesome.
Yeah. was it not pseudo related to like the Aquabats and stuff? I feel like somebody involved.
I feel like there's some crossover
with the Aquabats. Like somebody
was
in that.
There is something with that. I don't know what it is though.
but like before Jack McBrayer or Paul Scheer were really anybody, they're just on the show telling dumb knock knock jokes. Mm-hmm. And Mark Mothersbaugh does a drawing segment.
Yeah.
And so it's people like that, or like fucking Rocket from the Crypt guy.
John Rhys?
John Rhys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. And I'm just like watching with the kids and they love it. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is teaching you how fun and expressive and cool art can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like this sort of like free expression art for kids, and they just like totally latch onto it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is teaching you exactly what I want you to know.
Pretty good show.
I remember when it first came out, like a lot of the like news, like the BuzzFeed kind of news sites would like always pick up when bands were on it, and then I would like eventually just start seeking out like who was on that, like just on YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually like watched a ton of the episodes, but I remember
you can enjoy it as an adult human.
Yeah,
you know, Jack Black shows
so
up,
cool.
Was great on it.
Like everybody shows up on a Weird Al, of course. Patton Oswalt, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman, like it's got like the greatest little cameos, and hey, who's that coming to fucking be a weirdo for 5 seconds? It's Biz Markie. He shows up every once in a while to teach kids how to do some pretty terrible beatbox. But I love the Biz.
So
good.
Yeah, Jamie Du turned me out of that show.
Is that right?
Yeah, very good.
Nice.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba. I'll break it down. That guy fucking rules.
Yeah, he's the coolest. I would love to be able to wear that orange jumpsuit for every day for the rest of my life.
Oh my God. I was like, I swear to God, if I ever gave a fuck about Halloween, this would be my every year.
I watched a movie last night that is available on VOD. Called The Clove Hitch Killer.
Yeah.
And this stars Charlie Plummer, who I believe was in Call Me By Your Name. Or no, he wasn't. He was in Lean on Pete, which was a movie that I saw that was really good.
Yeah.
But it also stars Dylan McDermott. Mm-hmm. And it is about this...
it's about Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah. it's about this teenager played by Charlie Plummer, and he starts to suspect that maybe his religious dad is the Clove Hitch Killer, who is this like murderer who hasn't murdered in 10 years, but there was like a spree 10 years ago with a serial killer, and nobody knows what happened. And it... is an interesting movie that I can't fully recommend, but I would like to know what other people think of it, because I was a bit frustrated by it. But first of all, Dylan McDermott is really good in it as this like super button down lame like Christian dad, and the is he or isn't he element to it is never really like you kind of know going into it what it's going to be, but he still plays it really well, and there's a lot of really good scenes between him and Charlie Plummer where you're like, what's going on here? But the movie kind of gets in the way of itself a little bit. It tries to be a little bit too, I don't know, not, I don't want to say it tries to be a little bit too clever, because movies should be like, you should try to be more than just the standard thing. But like, it gets a little bit, it comes to this point where it reaches a point in the movie where I all of a sudden was extremely invested in what was about to happen. And then the movie was like, anyway, we'll go over here for a while. And I was like, no. No, no, you had me. and like, yeah, it really pissed me off. And maybe that was what the movie was trying to do. And I'm not sure about how it lands in the final act. But I do think there's enough here that people that are fans of like independent, like serial killer kind of weird movies, because this movie has a really weird tone. Like sometimes it's dark comedy and sometimes it's like legitimately creepy. And sometimes that rubs up on each other and you're like, okay, I don't know how to feel about this. But it's definitely worth it for the performances. Dylan McDermott's really good. Charlie Plummer's really good. There's a woman in it named Madison Beattie, who I believe was in The Master and some other things, other people, which I heard was very good. But she's really good in it. And yeah, it's an interesting but frustrating movie that I would definitely be interested in what other people think of. The Clove Hitch Killer. Yeah, it's definitely one that I feel like is getting a little overlooked because it was an IFC pickup and it went straight to VOD. So there's enough here to recommend. But yeah, I'd be interested in what other people think of it.
Yeah. What's it called again?
The Clove Hitch Killer.
The Clove Hitch Killer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So check it out if you want to. If you want to take a gamble.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I checked out.
Yeah.
I checked out A Star is Born.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah. Everybody keeps telling me to watch that movie, and I'm like, stop telling me to watch that movie.
Have you seen the Kris Kristofferson Streisand one?
No.
I saw that. It's been a long time. I saw, I was probably like 15 or something when I saw that on City TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bradley Cooper directed.
Yeah.
Gaga.
And he's in it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the aging rockin' country guy, and she's the talented person. And, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like there's some scenes that are good. They have good chemistry. She's very good in it.
Yeah.
I don't think Bradley Cooper really is there yet as a director. Because there's a lot of pacing problems. There's a lot of, they get to some things way too fast. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is too quick. We're like skyrocketing through this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I found her, the depiction of her going from, you know, nobody to like megastar, just like, it was too, other than being like in a relationship with him who's a junkie alcoholic, like she doesn't do it and there's no missteps.
Yeah.
Everything just where it's just like this, like, you know, fever dream of perfect success.
Yeah.
And every choice she makes is exactly right. You know what I mean?
That's funny. The Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, feels very much the same. Like,
yeah.
And then we did this and we got famous. Then we did this. We got a little more famous. Then we did this. We got a little more famous.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a bit of like, I'm like, okay, fine. But also then at the end of the movie, I'm like, well, I didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Watch that person do very well. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. And what the thing that my biggest problem with the movie that I kept on kind of checking in and out with, aside from the pacing problems and like scenes that didn't need to be there, was it's not a great movie that Kristofferson, Streisand won, but there's a sense of the grittiness or the grind of what the road is was there, and kind of a little behind the curtain about how hard that is.
Yeah.
And it made country music on the road in Nashville seem like kind of cool to me. But when that was like the complete opposite of anything I was interested in when I was like 15 when I watched it. I'm like, oh, I guess that is kind of cool, you know? Part of it is Christopherson, because he's a real fucking songwriter. Like, he's nothing against Cooper. He does a very good job in this, but there's something different about Kris Kristofferson playing that kind of character.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more, I don't know, unpredictable, because maybe he is like, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
He just sells it more in that kind of role. And so, but the music scene and whatever, that part of this just doesn't feel like it's present in this movie, which maybe that, I mean, the world's different now and touring and this and that. And like, they kind of explore different, you know, having to do some stuff, but it all felt, I don't know. The music didn't feel like it was part of this movie, even though there's a lot of songs in it.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? What am I making sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a fine watch. The Cooper's really good in it. He has some scenes that are great. He has some scenes that, you know, it's an okay afternoon watch. I don't know. There's things to like, but it's not great.
Yeah, I feel like if Myos ever wants to watch it, we'll watch it. But otherwise,
Lady Gaga is really, really, really good in it. It was like for a first time being in a movie, and she has to carry the whole fucking thing. Yeah. She did a great job.
Yeah, Emma saw it at TIFF, and she's a big Gaga fan. Mm-hmm. And I think she was similar as you. She was like, yeah, I liked it, but she was like, she really liked it, but then it was like there was a reservation to, like, she was like, it was good. It was good.
There's things that happen. It's like, wait. You would need more things to happen to cause this reaction.
Yeah.
There's this thing that happens at the end. And I was like, what? Just doesn't. I don't want to spoil it, but I was like, no. Come on, dude.
That's funny. Yeah.
Her manager comes and gets in Bradley Cooper's face and is like, you know, she says like some mean stuff to him. And Bradley Cooper's like, oh, I guess I better. His reaction to it is quite extreme. It's like, one person. Okay, anyway.
You'll see it if you watch it.
Like, holy shit.
You
can
tell us off air.
Anyway.
Star is Born.
Yeah.
The new one.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. Casey, anything else?
Nothing I can really think of. We rewatched. My Neighbor Totoro
the other night. So good.
I just fucking love it so much.
Yeah.
It just warms my stupid heart. I fucking love Miyazaki so much.
Yeah. Did you guys see that Mary and the Witch's Flower is on Netflix, which is like another sort of anime. I don't know if it's Miyazaki or what studio it is, but it seems to have a Ghibli-esque kind of look to it. But it looks really cool. Was not done by them, but I saw it pop up on there and I was like, I heard it was like, if you like that stuff, you'll love Mary and the Witch's Flower. So I want to watch that. It's supposed to be very good.
Very good.
Yeah, so you can see that why it's very Ghibli-esque from the poster and stuff. Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
Yeah,
I love Totoro.
Oh, so good.
So goddamn good.
Hmm.
I still actually haven't seen Ponyo, so I got to watch
it. Oh, man.
I don't know which one I love more, Ponyo or My Neighbor Totoro.
I don't know how many times I've seen Ponyo, but it is a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of times in it, and I never tire
of
it.
Yeah.
But one thing I will, just something I noticed, like, you know in The Last Jedi how there's Laura Dern?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know how there's like a lady, I don't remember what she is. She like works for Laura Dern. She's like a person.
A worker? I don't know.
Anyway, she looks like Liam Neeson's character from Ponyo. That was my whole story.
Glad we got to it.
It's important to make time for these stories. That's what a podcast is all about.
Anything else, Greg?
No.
All right. Well, then let's get to Film Roulette. Damn it. Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good, something we've picked for the show, or, like this week, a winner's choice where they get to watch whatever the fuck they want.
Whoa.
There's also a loser, And I was that loser this week, but the loser has to watch a movie we have picked as the punishment. This week it was a film by David Dakota called Santa's Summer House. I will talk about that after they talk about their movies, and we will talk about our punishment film awarded to us by the loser last week. And then we'll keep on rolling.
Yeah.
You guys won, and Casey, you said, I wonder if we watched the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you watched the same thing?
I think there's a you know what, there might be
a chance,
some variables involved.
Okay.
But yeah, it's possible.
Should
but,
we do a
3-2-1? Maybe no.
Both say the same thing.
You think no?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll it'll all shake out.
Should we do a 3-2-1 and then you just both say
no?
It?
Tell me no. What did you watch, Casey?
Okay. Well, I did a little stay home.
Okay. Then this is exactly how I thought it was going to shake out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because why wouldn't you talk about a new Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Of course, I watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Right.
Which I watched 75% of.
Okay.
But I watched a different movie as my winner's choice.
Okay. I see.
So that's what
so,
I'm talking about.
Casey, you go first, and Greg can... 75%
I will give you my 75% opinion.
Was it the first 75%?
Yes. Or? Yeah. No, he jumped around.
did you memento this?
Yeah. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the new Coen Brothers film. This is on Netflix. Vignettes weaving together the stories of six individuals in the Old West at the end of the Civil War. Starring Tim Blake Nelson, James Franco, Liam Neeson.
Lots of people.
Tom Waits, Zoe Kazan.
Lots of people.
Glenn Gleeson. Lots of people.
Brendan Gleeson, Saul Rubinek.
Yeah.
This movie.
Jump into it. Review it if you would.
you know what, Dan? That's not a bad idea. this movie could have been called The Ballad of Diminishing Returns.
Oh, no. You know what? I was also thinking this movie like came really quick onto Netflix, and I felt like it was odd that a new Coen Brothers film was being released and it wasn't like the biggest, you know, like excitement. Like, I've heard about what they're doing, like, it was announced, and
yeah,
I followed
just like,
and
I heard Tom Waits was going to be in a new Coen Brothers movie, and like, hey, look, it's on Netflix. Like,
yeah.
Oh. And there wasn't like, even the presentation wasn't like the directors of these 10 perfect movies.
Yeah. Yeah, just like
all these Academy Awards, the high standard of film for the last 30 years. It was just like, and here's what's up.
Pooped it out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when I say The Ballad of Diminishing Returns, it starts out fucking great.
Oh boy, yeah. The first like, 10 minutes, I was like, into this.
I was like, I absolutely fucking love this.
Yes.
This is my favorite thing Tim Blake Nelson has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying something, because I fucking love Tim
Blake
Nelson.
That guy's very good. Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh shit, Tim Blake Nelson's great. Hey, what's up, Clancy Brown? Hey, look, that's fucking David Krumholtz. I love this. and then from there, and then after that one is the James Franco one.
Right.
And the James Franco one had Stephen Root. And I was like, this one's a lot of fun, too. And I'm like, are these just going to be silly little Western skits? Because that's all the first two vignettes are.
Yeah.
Are a couple of silly little skitch-em-ups.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, it becomes so bogged down.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah. How what vignette did you end up on?
I checked out in the fifth one. I don't know. The
Zoe Kazan.
Zoe
one?
Kazan one. Yeah. Now I was tired. Was most of my problem and bored. But I was very bored in the Liam Neeson one.
I was so bored, but I was so... I felt really bad that I was so bored because the guy playing the orator was so fucking wonderful.
He was great.
And,
yeah, and it does its thing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Next.
It's like,
and I liked the Tom Waits one.
I did, but also I was like...
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
Fuck, do
like,
I
liked it because it looked
also,
it looked really good, and Tom Waits was wonderful in it.
I thought they did him a huge disservice, again, because like it was so one-dimensional, or two-dimensional, I guess what you say. Like it was like, I get the point you're making. I see the little story that you're trying to tell, but you've given Tom Waits nothing to do, and he's doing his absolute best at it, and you love him because he's Tom Waits kind of thing, but you're like, this story could have been told in about 30 seconds, and I love the story it's telling, but I'm like, you could have done this in a much more compelling way, and all you did was have Tom Waits dig holes for 15 minutes.
But it's Tom Waits, so it's like,
but also it did this thing that just gets right up my spine, and it was the one thing that took away from Get Out for me, which is the movie Get Out. That's a weird sentence if it's not the movie. It did this thing where it sort of tells you what's going on by the main character talking to themselves, and explaining little things to themselves that they wouldn't do in real life kind of thing, and that just gets up my spine, and so this did that, and but that one's fine, you know, at the end I was like, I like the story and everything.
Would it have been a lot better if they had trimmed, like if it had just been less of like a shorter movie?
No, expand on the ideas. The ideas aren't enough.
Okay.
And be compelling with those ideas,
right?
But again, the first two, I was like, these are a lot of fun. Yeah. They're silly and fun.
Yeah.
And a little tragic, but silly and fun. And then it just jumps right off the deep end into, like, just bogged the fuck down in, like, that maudlin kind of Coen Brothers that I didn't care for in...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In Hail Caesar, which didn't have that real maudlin thing, but it had that sort of like heaviness, that plodding along kind of.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
That's
like a big bummer.
Yeah.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Watch the first two vignettes.
Yeah.
The last one is insufferable.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep going.
Yeah. Why would they backload all
that far? Yeah. Let's end poorly.
Yeah. Send them out with a frown.
Yeah.
And the last one had, like, I was so excited about it because I love Saul Rubinek. I love Brendan Gleeson. I'll watch anything Brendan Gleeson does.
Sure.
I think he's a fucking genius.
Would you watch Murder Someone?
Would I watch him Murder Someone? Again and again. and Tyne Daly. And I'm like, you know what? Tyne Daly in a Coen Brothers movie is a fucking brilliant idea. Mm. And she's great. Like, she does her best in something that is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real bummer.
Yeah.
Big bummer.
Boo.
Coen Brothers Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thought.
Coen Brothers Netflix movie.
Greg, what was your winner's choice?
I watched Venom.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to make time to watch this.
Yeah. Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Venom, directed by Ruben Fleischer.
Not great reviews, and everyone was like, what are you doing?
And reviews, but then also...
Made a bunch of
crazy
money.
Crazy high-grossing movie.
Yeah.
Like, internationally. Yeah.
It outdid a lot of movies that it shouldn't have, according to the experts. So I watched this movie.
Yeah.
And
and you loved it. Next.
It's a it's a weird movie. Yeah. It's not good because I mean it's not good, but I had fun.
Oh yeah,
it's a clumsy, dumb movie, and as long as you don't worry about it being Venom, because it certainly fucking isn't.
Yeah,
it's all fucked up, but it's way more Cuckoo Bananas than I was expecting. It has got some wacky wax style talking back and forth between Tom Hardy and Venom that I wasn't expecting, and it's like there's some silly, goofy jokes going on and stuff, and it's kind of like a horror movie that doesn't want to get too scary.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what it is, because originally they were trying to go for hard R with
which they should have.
And then they pulled the fuck back, apparently, for PG-13.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Carlo, and he reviewed it on Letterboxd, and I remember he said, like, part of his review was just, remember what superhero movies were like before Iron Man?
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of like all over the place.
Yeah. This has more in common with like Spawn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Than anything else I can think
You're
of.
You're selling me on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is a, I'm not joking. A train wreck you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than Spawn. Yeah, it feels like 1997 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found Tom Hardy really enjoyable in it because he's fun. And, like, I don't know why. I mean, yeah, he picked a voice. It's not like you can't understand him. I don't know what everyone's going on about.
Yeah.
Anyway. yeah, watch it.
But yeah, don't, I'm definitely
just,
going to.
Just
I'm
tune out.
To
it's just a big, dumb movie.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, I don't know, so it was sort of fun. But, I mean, it really went to places where I was like, what the fuck is happening
yeah.
here?
Yeah, when I saw, like, the reviews come out and it was really negative, and then I saw, like, a kind of a little wave of people on Letterboxd being like, no, this was bananas, but, like, I had a lot of fun watching it. I was like, maybe I'll watch this.
Yeah. No, you will like it, most definitely. And I'm still just like what the how did this come to be?
Yeah,
it just such a enormous waste of potential material, and but whatever, here's this dumb movie that's kind of fun. So I guess that's something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Nice Venom.
Yeah,
are there any, without giving too much away, are there any surprise, and I don't want to say cameos,
nothing.
But surprise?
Nope. Not a goddamn thing.
No, like, oh, that character's in it. Or...
Nothing to do with any, like, existing superhero-y anything.
Oh, but I mean other characters that you recognize from the Marvel, from the or from, like, the Spidey universe.
No, not really, because it takes place in San Francisco, so it's keeping you away from the whole New York Spider-Man thing. I guess that's what they're going to try and do is, like, San Francisco doesn't get the news. We don't know what's happening. and it what it does have is a lot of characters that are in the Venomverse. Like I think they've fucked the Venom character up huge in the comics. They've made too many people the host and had him too popular, so they made him like an anti-hero, which nobody wants that either. Like, you had the scariest fucking, you had your Marvel finally got their Joker, you know, like something intense that was the polar opposite of one of their biggest heroes, and then we're like, he's so let's make him a good guy, kind of. You know, like, fuck off with that, just yeah. And then there's other ones, like there's more symbiotes, and you know,
well, yeah, because I guess that's probably what I'm getting at is, like, I didn't know if they were going to get into the Carnage thing.
You don't get any indication of Carnage coming. They just deal with this other, I mean, I don't care, I don't know too much about it because I don't like it. But I'm familiar with some of the characters. Riot is the name of the other Venom.
Slowly.
Not caring. Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun.
Sweet.
I had a nice time.
Venom? Yeah I'll
now
check
I'm
it out.
I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah, yeah. No, have a nice time.
Put it on in the right frame of mind. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't expect much. And don't worry about the comics because
it's
all fucked up and it's just, instead, it's this other thing.
Yeah.
I think, tangentially related.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody has seen. I was never a big Chris D'Elia fan.
I know you're talking about. No, because he's horrible, but that video is hilarious.
Oh my God. It's so, the video of him freestyling as Eminem.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
so
that was
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy
really
shit.
Too many napkins.
Too many napkins. And a pannikin. And a pannikin mannequin. Super good.
The Fortin here's the Fortin.
Back to the floorboards. And a pannikin.
Did you watch that 11-minute Eminem?
Yeah.
freestyle he just put out?
What?
No. Oh, not that. No.
No.
I watched that. Like that, I'm assuming 40 seconds of it. I'm like, why would I watch this?
Yeah.
I saw the one that he did, the Trump one that he did in that parking garage.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same thing.
Terrible?
Yeah. Yeah. All but right. For 11 minutes.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Wonderful.
Yeah. And I guess, no Trump thing. At least that was like, one of our big artists is saying something about the politics. Yeah. And this one, he's just like yelling at other celebrities, which I couldn't, like, why would I? There's not even a beat here, guy. You seem like a dick.
And also, lay off Will Smith already.
Yeah.
Well,
Dakota.
What's going on at Santa's Summer House?
Well, from 2012, directed by David Dakota. Even the toughest action stars in the world have a soft spot in their hearts for Christmas. A dense fog falls over Southern California, sending a group of...
A dense fog fogs the mind of the viewer.
Sending a group of discontent vacationers on to a mysterious island? No, I don't recall it being an island. Occupied by a jolly old soul whose Christmas magic works all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this stars Gary Daniels... Cynthia Rothrock, Christopher Mitchum, those are the big names. Daniel Bernhardt was in The Matrix 2. I think he was like one of the main agents,
right?
In those movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was the agent, right.
but this is like an Expendables of some really low tier
lower budget
action.
Stuff. Yeah. Particularly Gary Daniels and Cynthia Rothrock, who were in a lot of stuff.
And Chris Mitchum is, of course, the son of Robert Mitchum, and
he was in some
real garbage. That's
some movies. Mm-hmm. And he was in Tombstone.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. We've talked about Dakota on this podcast in the past.
Yeah.
If you don't remember, basically, Dakota is a low-budget filmmaker. He made horror movies and B-movies for Charles Band in the 80s and into the 90s, and eventually just started to segue into doing really, really low-budget stuff, a lot of Christmas movies, a lot of family movies, a lot of movies in his series called 1313, which are just like pseudo-thriller horror movies that are just... an excuse to get a bunch of dudes in tighty whities, take their shirts off, and there's like some kind of a plot. It always takes place in his mansion, and
like a large amount of movies filmed in this.
Oh my god!
And he doesn't change the mansion at all.
No, it's the same.
Just the same place.
Just the same place,
and you can tell because it's mostly populated by the ends of cars and giant shoes.
Yeah. Which, in my mind, the shoe thing was just a huge shoe, but it's actually just like a weird statue, and then on the bottom there's like red heels. But in my mind, I was like, it's a huge heel.
I'm constantly picturing a massive shoe.
But that's not it at all. Oh. But it's funny how our minds
it's like
work.
Not dissimilar to that house that Vanilla Ice winds up in, Cool as Ice.
Yeah. So this movie opens...
You know.
With that psych guy with
the
big salt
and pepper.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That movie has it all.
Yeah. That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
So the opening of this movie is like a shot of a van driving down the highway, and there's like a narration from this teenager who's like driving them all somewhere, and he's like, and then we drove through a fog, and it was super weird, and we all came out the other side, and we didn't know where we were. And so, like, they're leading you into being, like, this magical fog has, you know, taken them somewhere else, which is just to David Dakota's mansion. Mm-hmm. But they can't find, I guess they're all going...
Which is the most magical place on earth.
Have you seen the jacuzzi? They were going to, like, a resort, and so there's, like, a bunch of folks who are heading to a resort together. I don't know if they all know each other. It's very vague. So there's, like, one guy who's, like, a scientist. There's Like these two sisters, and the older sister so mean to the younger sister. There's like these parents and their teenage son, and so they're all going there, and they end up at this house trying to figure out where they're going, and they knock on the door, and Cynthia Rothrock answers the door, and she's very like chipper, and you're like, okay, she's Mrs. Claus, but she's like, just call me Nana or something. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Mitchum is Santa, and so the gist of the movie is. They're like, oh, the teenage driver can go drive to the resort and like figure out what's going on, and you'll stay here until he comes back and gets you. And they're all like, okay, why not, I guess. And so the whole movie is just them hanging out at David Okoto's house, and like they'll learn a lesson or two by the end of it to like be nicer to your sister or like pay attention to your son or whatever the fuck the lessons are. I watched this like a week and a half ago. I don't really remember.
But I like that. It's
yeah.
Be nicer to your sister or pay attention to your son.
Or whatever. They like get the parents like were having trouble in their marriage, some kind of nondescript marriage trouble.
Sure. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And at the end of the movie they love each other. But like literally this movie was just made so that like David Okoto and these people could hang out. Like 100% that was the reason this movie got made. Mm-hmm.
That's why Adam Sandler makes movies. So
sure,
why
not?
Yeah.
Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, every single scene ends with a wipe of like Christmas lights or like like a star.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this movie, or maybe the first like half an hour, they all decide that they're going to play croquet, where you just hit the balls and the little things and the stakes in the backyard, and they fucking play it for fucking 12 minutes straight. I timed it. You just sit there and you watch them play croquet for 12 minutes
and
improv
that is
dialogue.
Not a compelling game.
And they're barely playing it, and the whole time the camera has that like Sam Raimi like low to the ground like whooshing around like at them and at the ball and back to them,
God.
And they're all like, hello, I'm going for it, go, I missed, and they're just
so they're playing
they're
up the excitement
playing
of
up
croquet.
The excitement, and they are totally improvising the stuff, and they're like, oh, you got me on that one. Pushing each other like jokingly.
Oh my
and
God.
And I couldn't believe how long it was going for. It was amazing. I was like, my mind was blown. The other thing was, I sent you guys a clip of Christopher Mitchum's Santa and his ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho laugh. And that was fucking amazing. It was just like, it was almost like all the guys just like flipped a coin and they were like, oh, I guess I'm Santa. And like you had to like figure out how to be Santa in like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. And, like, I don't really know who Santa is, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Let's
was...
laugh. Well, great.
Yeah.
You can laugh. Like,
yeah. It was so weird. So weird. I can't top the croquet scene. Like my mind shut down.
12 minutes.
12
is
I
a
had
long
to, I,
time.
But it's pretty sad that this movie peaks. Yeah, at 12 minutes.
When it ended, I went. I was like, I have to see how long that was because it felt like an hour. Yeah, it is unbelievable. There's some really great garbage dialogue. It's all just them. They make the whole movie up on the spot, and I loved it. Mm. It was a life-changing experience.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. The thing I love about his movies is even though they are all the same, there is none like the one you are watching.
Wow. He needs to put that quote on every single one of his movies. Yeah.
Like, in the moment, you're like, this is the weirdest beamed down from, like, you know... independent filmmaking, just bonkers, like hanging out, we made a movie thing that I've ever seen. And they're all like that, but they're all like that in these weird ways.
Real question here. How much money do you think he makes per movie?
I don't know. I think there was
but he makes money off these movies.
Well, I believe
right?
there was some element of it where like Redbox was involved, where like those like rental stations in the States, like you could fill those things with this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like that is almost more viable than like the Netflix thing, because this movie was actually really hard to find. It's not streamable. It's not like on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or even on Tubi TV or like all the like free places. It was actually quite hard to get.
Which made it that much more rewarding.
It made it that much sweeter when I got it. I'm pretty sure all of his movies come with commentary tracks. I need to get the commentary track.
I
love it. I love it. I love David Okoto so much.
Yeah, it's a really amazing
I just
thing.
Love that
it's
he's
so
doing
unique.
It. I hope he does it forever.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. And there was a dog in it, but he wasn't very magical or anything.
No, didn't
yeah.
talk or anything.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And I was hoping there would be at least
a regular dog.
Yeah.
question mark.
Yeah. And I was kind of hoping there would even be like a joking action scene like
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like some kind of like
because you have all these action people,
scene.
But
like
no
even,
action.
Yeah, even if it was like they like, I don't know, like chased each other or something, and it was like they found some kind of way to do a not action scene.
Yeah,
would have been funny or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
but
that's
no.
really weird.
Yeah, no, mostly just drama and weirdness. Yeah.
Okay,
so it's wonderful. 10 stars.
Yep,
Santa's Summer House. So Casey,
what
you gave us an album? To
I sure
to.
Did. I gave you guys a choice. Or rather...
No, you didn't.
Or rather, I said two albums and told you to listen to them.
Yeah, you were like, oh, I might do this album, and I think I was like, oh, I think I've listened to that. And
yeah, it was
like,
that Jay Maskus album. Jay like, oh, yeah, I've listened to that.
And so you're like, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have been your first reactions, and that's not what I want. What I want is for you guys to talk about the answer.
That Jay Maskus album's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
More so, on Hanson now, if you please.
Yeah, you gave us String Theory, a double album.
Yeah, it is an hour and a half long.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And what you didn't know is it is a...
There was a reveal as I was listening, because I was like, wait a second.
This is a double album featuring the Prague Symphony performing string arrangements by David Campbell. So this is their songbook... reimagined through orchestral arrangements with them singing on it.
So it's Mbop is on here and that Where is the Love song. Yeah. That's when I clued in. I was like, wait a second, I know this song.
But with strings.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like the all rearranged with new strings. There's still other instruments and stuff in that.
So you're saying Mbop, but even more beautiful?
Yeah, right. If you can imagine.
Yeah.
I can't.
So what?
I won't.
It just is the same thing forever.
Oh, my God.
It's really horrible.
Yeah.
If I was to rename... You know what it sounds like? It's like... a buddy of mine used to have this really hilarious CD that was like old commercial jingles we used to listen to.
Yeah. So
this is like, if you could rename this, would be like a commercial jingles album, but it was like the greatest sounds from... diet cream cheese yogurt or salad commercials.
Yeah. See, I would call it...
that is a narrow margin of
all of them sound like they could be some sort of really strong probiotic healthy yogurt commercial.
I would rename this
are
album
they selling Country Crock. What's happening?
I would say I would rename this album Starbucks 2008 the original soundtrack. It just feels like every song on here would be like on the Starbucks back in the day when they would sell like their little CDs at the front I can get the new Paul McCartney or this like Hanson with Strings album. Like,
it's terrible.
It's so bad. I don't even know what to say. Just.
I feel like an album like that, there is little more to say than it's Hanson with Strings.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you just, go, oh.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And that's
honestly,
all it is.
Like, I would love to listen to the regular version of Mbop like for an hour over this.
Yeah.
Like that song is a dumb, stupid song, but it's like kind of catchy and there's like the Dust Brothers had something to do with it and I can like listen to it and be annoyed by it. But this was just like,
it's horrible.
Yuck. This was just blah.
Yeah. It seems like strings would really just bog down the Hanson buoyancy.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, because it stopped any. I hate Hanson, and I don't find any fun in Mbop. But the thing that is like the quality of this band that is sort of like fun or something or lighthearted is gone and like has extra non-fat cream cheese seriousness to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really, so like, we are doing this with strings.
Yeah.
Diet strings.
We are to legitimize our
celebrating ourselves. Like,
yeah, low-fat string cheese.
So, yeah, String Theory was in that element.
Fucking
it
sucked.
Nice.
So, I get to punish you guys, and I'm torn. I'm torn between an album I love, but that is a little similar to an album, a style of music that I gave you guys quite a ways back. It's been a while, but it's I know how you guys feel about this kind of music, but I love this album. And then I'm also thinking of an album that I don't know much about at all, and I kind of want to use you guys as the guinea pigs. So I think I'm going to do that.
Uh-huh.
So do you guys know about the band The 1979?
Oh, I fucking hate them.
Yeah, because
1979
like...
1979 or 1975?
Oh, The 1975. Sorry,
I am aware of them.
Yeah, 1975.
I saw them on Saturday Night Live, and I
They get, like, best new music on Pitchfork, and, like, people seem to really like them.
They get very good reviews, and I listened to a little bit of it, and I was like... What?
Yeah, I have no idea what they even sound like.
Okay.
I think the only thing I know about them was that before they were The 1975, they were like a mall emo kind of punk-ish band.
Sure. I think before I knew that they had a name, I just assumed that they were Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm interested just because I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of confused when I just sampled a little bit of it because I saw their new, we're talking about the new album right now.
Yes, yeah.
I saw it on a bunch of like year end lists. And I was like, what's going on there? And I listened to like 30 seconds of one of the songs and I was like, what?
Yeah, their new album got like best new music.
Yeah. Well, let's do it and tell you what's going on.
What is their new album called? Let me see. It is called A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I guess is a better name for their last album, which was I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful, Yet So Unaware of It.
Oh, my God.
Holy fuck. I just suddenly got a full realization of what I'm in for with this.
Yeah. Like
it's going to take every fiber of my being to hate this one.
A very popular band that I feel like... I have not heard a single music note of their music, but I feel like it's like one of that like poppy, quote-unquote, indie rock that like is... being very like put up on like a but actually it's pretty like smart.
It's crazy popular. Like,
yeah,
like I saw them on Saturday Night Live and the lead singer is insufferable.
Okay,
but and he's very dramatic.
Well, enjoy your trip back to 1975.
All right,
that's the show and now we gotta roll. So we are rolling for
Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh my god, that looks so good.
Looks great.
Yeah. The Loser is a themed pick.
Yeah.
Again, Christmas movie. Mrs. Claus?
Mrs. Claus.
The scary version.
Scary monster Mrs. Claus.
What if Mrs. Claus was scary?
She's got an axe.
Yeah. What was the synopsis, Mrs. Claus?
Oh, I didn't even read it. I just looked at the poster and was like, that's it.
Mrs. Claus is scary.
Yeah. Let's see here on Google. College students attending a Christmas party at a sorority house with a dark past are stalked by a deranged killer dressed as Miss Claus. Cool.
Wait, she's not actually Mrs. Claus? I want it to actually be Mrs.
Claus.
I want the whole
thing.
She's
had it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. Okay. I'm sure. Somebody roll. Greg's going to roll.
Wait, we're rolling.
Are we rolling
two
double dice?
I got two dice. They're loud.
It's gonna, those are some loud ass.
I got an eight.
Eight.
Yeah. I got an eight.
Come on, eight.
Nope. That's a five.
I got a five.
Yeah.
I call bullshit. But that's fine.
Not me. I think it worked out great.
Seems pretty good to me.
Well, fuck. I didn't want to see that shit anyway. That's supposed to be the best fucking superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yep.
Whatever.
It's going to be great.
Fuck you. If you want to let us know what you think, email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Don't forget Facebook.
The life just pulled out of the disappointment there.
Facebook and Twitter, SYNWPC. We'll be back next week. Miss Claus, Spider-Man, and the 1975. Mm-hmm. As always, we will see you next Wednesday. And what should we do here?
Huh?
Hmm. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on all of our catchphrases.
I have an idea. Why don't we just
let them go?
Just let it go.
Enjoy. They're drifting off to sleep.
Drift off.
Good night. Just
stop talking all of a sudden.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.